Join with me now and turn in your Bibles if you would like to follow along. The Gospel of John. Each of the Gospels shares an account, a testimony concerning the resurrection of the Messiah of Jesus. This is one that shares a description of the women who came and then the men who followed, and to hear the story of our risen Lord and Savior. John chapter 20. You can turn to it, and I'll come to it in just a few moments. Today is the highest and holiest day in the Christian year. None others really compare to this day. Although we celebrate Christmas and Christmas Eve and the birth of Jesus as one of those other high holy days throughout the year, this day among all other days is the one in which most people attend church and services throughout the year. And it's the perfect day. You've got it right. This is the day to worship Christ as our risen Lord and Savior. But I was reminded with something that was posted yesterday, I believe. And I wanted to add that to this today. Of Saturday. You know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus said in 3 days, I will rise again and build the temple once again. And people didn't understand it. And even as a child, I wondered about the 3 days. The 3 days doesn't add up right. Friday to Sunday, there wasn't 3 days after. But the 3 days are Good Friday and the day he died. Then there's Saturday and then there's Sunday. The first day of the week that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then there's Saturday. And Saturday can be the place that we're often, and we can be from time to time. It's the time where death reigns. It's the time where hopelessness sometimes approaches us, or despair. It was the time that the disciples were fearful because the one in which they followed was now dead. And they didn't understand the teaching of Jesus that he would on the third day rise from the grave. They didn't understand that at that moment, that we have the privilege of reading the scriptures and knowing. But he also did this for you and me on Saturday. He descended into the depths of hell itself. He bore our very punishment. That barring the effort and success of God's victory on the cross and the day of resurrection would be yours and my end. He went to the depths of hell itself, but knowing and proving that hell even itself could not hold Jesus, he demonstrated power over sin and death and hell itself, and rose from the grave. This is the victory won, that he rose from the grave itself. Listen to these scriptures. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." And so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. And then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. And praise God. It's good to see that the choir had to remain up here today. We hear all kinds of news, don't we? I was so glad to hear the news that one of the airmen was found today. And I know we've got servicemen and women who are serving overseas in dangerous areas. So thankful for that. I'll share a little more, but there are many people in Iran this day who are having dreams and they're seeing Jesus come to them. And they are professing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What wonderful news it would be if they could have freedom away from the tyrannical rule that they have now. And to see churches planted, and maybe even the Global Methodist Church support the planting of churches in Iran itself. How wonderful that would be. But you hear news too in Canada, Finland, and the United Kingdom, where laws are being placed that even quoting scripture that seem offensive can be ruled illegal. And you can find yourself in jail, in prison, for even just repeating those scriptures. Let us be honored in this land that I can stand up here and quote scripture, any part of scripture, and I have no fear of going to prison in doing so. It seems strange to me that in the United Kingdom, where the king himself is supposed to be and has been set for over 1,000 years to be the defender of the faith, of the Christian faith. Queen Elizabeth did so. She would give Easter speeches and Christmas Eve speeches glorifying her faith in Jesus Christ. And it seems today that that is not the case. That should trouble us so. For a nation to cower over fear of being offensive. How can Jesus be offensive, folks? He died on the cross for your and my sake and for the whole world's. He healed thousands. He rose Lazarus from the dead and a young girl from the dead. And these are just the things that we know of and have heard of through the witness accounts of Scripture. How much more did Jesus do? And it's so good to read this story and to proclaim it, even though you've heard it maybe countless times. This is the story of Jesus rising from the grave, not for Jesus' sake, but for yours and mine. The resurrection of Jesus is a great story. It's the best story. Once we were lost and dead in our sins, and now we are found and alive. To all who have faith in Him and have placed the blood of Jesus upon the doorpost of your heart, you are given the forgiveness of sin and life everlasting, and a joy to be in His kingdom forever and ever already. Now, when I was a young boy, I received a phone call from my grandfather. I loved my grandfather, called him affectionately Papa, and would spend a lot of days down there, especially during the summertime, and he would give me a Coke and sometimes Vienna sausages. You know, I know. I don't eat them today. Yes. Thank you, James. I appreciate that. But he called me up one summer and he said, "John, I got something for you." I said, "Okay." I was interested. "What?" "I got a wagon for you." Well, I paused. I just kind of was a little bit, taken aback. He's got a wagon for me. Well, in my mind, he had a stagecoach with, four beautiful horses connected to it. And so I'm thinking, what am I going to do with a stagecoach and four horses? Okay, I'll take it. And so my mom drives me down there to go get the stagecoach, the wagon and horses. And I don't even know what I'm going to do with them, but I'm expecting something great. And I get down there, and there with the fig tree where I thought it was going to be, there was no wagon, no stagecoach, and no four horses. And I get out, and my grandfather takes me to the barn. He opens the door to the barn where it was at, the shed part of the barn. And there he shows me a little green wagon, like a radio flyer wagon. He probably noticed my disappointment. But I really had no use for a horse-drawn stagecoach that either. Yes, I was greatly disappointed. The resurrection of Jesus is not like this. It's not a story too good to be true. It is real. He is alive. And Mary Magdalene testified this to the disciples. That would have been a useless testimony in Jesus' day. Women were not considered people who could testify in court of law. They would be your least person you would present to offer a testimony. That's nothing against women, but that was the way it was in Jesus' day. And yet they used this because it is true, to signify what the world would see as a weak testimony, but Jesus, God, would see as the strongest of testimony. The resurrection of Jesus is not like the story of the wagon. It's not a story too good to be true. It is indeed a wonderful, a miraculous, a forever true story. Jesus died, and now he's alive. And all who follow him will also not experience judgment, eternal judgment, and second death, because God has forgiven you and me and has offered you and me eternal life, not just a quantity of time that we studied in our Bible study, but a quality of his righteousness and his love and his perfection forever and ever, where there is no end. That's the promise of God for all of us, for the whole world, even those that reject him. It is the promise of God. How sad it is that people will reject him and they will miss out on the wonder of God's promise. There's a gentleman who wrote a short story, a children's story, and he wanted to get it published. He was young. And so he went to a publisher, and the publisher read his story and said, "No, it's not good." He went to another publisher and another publisher and another publisher, and he kept hearing the same answer: "No, your story's not good. We're not going to publish it. We're not going to waste our money on it. It's a failure." And on it went. 26 times he kept hearing the same story. And he finally decided and said, "All right, if I get just one more rejection, I'm going straight home and I'm going to rip up this book." That he'd spent hours and hours and days and weeks and months on. And he's going to just throw it away. And so he goes to this next publisher, and he gets in the door. The publisher reads the story. It's a children's short story. It's a children's book. And the publisher does this: "No, it's not good enough." And so, very despondent, he left the office and he went home, just trudging home, walking down the street, the busy street, and he's holding that book in his hands, and he's ready to just get home as soon as he can and rip up the book and just forget his dream of that book. And he bumps into one of his friends on the way home. And his friend happened to work for a publisher. And he's very early in this business, and so he just wants a book, anything. So he's ready just to publish anything. And so, "Let me take this book and I'll publish it for you." And he publishes the book. Do you know who the author of the book is? Dr. Seuss. That close to letting disappointment and feelings of depression and being despondent just destroy all the things that he would have accomplished, the books that he would have written. Elementary schools have a day set aside just to celebrate Dr. Seuss books. My wife can quote all of them by heart. Yes. I can't. I can say red fish, blue fish, two fish. What? And I've already... One fish, two fish. Leave it to my wife to correct me. She needs to from time to time. 27 times rejected. And then he was able to get it published. What about all those other inventions and discoveries and writings and leaders and so on who aren't known today because they were rejected and gave up? Jesus was rejected. But his wasn't a giving up. His was a proving why he came and the power of why he came to exhibit power over sin and death. His glory was to receive rejection and death. And we know salvation today simply because he did not turn away. He did not walk away from us. He did not give up on you and me. Instead, he endured even through the suffering of the cross for our sake. And as I said at our Maundy Thursday service, have other people suffered more than Jesus? Yes, yes, they have. I'm not going to deny that. But it's the who that matters. The Son of God, God Himself suffering on a cross. That's what really matters. When God doesn't have to, God allows Himself to go to the cross to endure suffering. He doesn't take the gall or the wine mixture vinegar that would numb His senses to the sufferings. No, He takes it on fully because He wants to endure what we would endure in sin and death itself. We know salvation because of Jesus. Because it is God who has died on the cross, God who has endured hell itself, and God who has won the victory over sin and death by rising from the grave. That is the miracle. But to God, it's not a miracle. He can just speak and worlds come into existence. It is His love, you see. It is His love that is given to us through the day of resurrection. Jesus is risen. Is this a hard belief? That He's risen from the dead? We experience the living God. We've heard testimonies of people in our early service and even here, and I've shared testimony from time to time. And you see testimonies shared online and at revivals and different things. We experience the living God because Jesus is alive and His Spirit has been sent to dwell among us and in us and with us. A Muslim daughter of a Hezbollah colonel who grew up in the faith and just felt conflicted by the Muslim faith. And she was living the best she could, but she knew that her father was living and doing evil acts all the time, murdering innocent people, thinking that he was doing so in serving Allah. And serving God. In a dream, in many dreams, she saw the vision of Jesus, as have many people these days across some of the Muslim areas of the Persian Gulf, where they have borne witness to Jesus Christ. And seeing the vision of Jesus and have said and departed their old way of living and have said that they would follow Jesus. And they have done so in the midst of knowing that persecution can come their way. And she had to depart her family because she knew, even being the daughter of a Hezbollah colonel, that she would be executed. And so she had to depart. What gave her cause to do such thing? Not some fallacy, not some simple story. It is because of the real and living Jesus Christ. Perez Hilton, some of you know as a blogger and a influencer, who has, in time past, he has constantly said that he is an atheist and that he berated Christians and laughed at them for their faith. And recently he spent 21 days in the hospital with sepsis. And he's since blogged since then and posted. And even one of his own friends laughed at him for his posting. And he said this: "You know, I've said all along that I didn't believe, but God presented himself to me while I was in the hospital." He is real. He went on to say, "I was so wrong," he goes on to say, "I am now excited to carry my children to church." This is someone who had previously laughed at Christianity, had laughed at followers of Christ, and thought it was all a hoax. And now he's publicizing his faith in Jesus Christ. It is not because of a fallacy. It's because he said, and I was very lucid. He wanted people to know, I wasn't dreaming this. I wasn't somehow in a state that I couldn't reason. He says, I am very lucid. And God has revealed himself to me and made himself very present. God presented himself to me. That's how he said it. God presented himself. Listen, folks, 2,000 years ago, God presented himself to the whole wide world. If no other acts ever take place, God presented himself as a risen Lord and Savior for the salvation of all humankind. All we do is receive, repent of our sin, receive, and follow him. And let our lives just be transformed by him. The resurrection of Jesus is indeed the great story of the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so glad to come together in this house and worship you and to praise you and to acknowledge in resounding faith that you are indeed risen from the grave. Let us not be caught up in despair or hopelessness, but let us be caught up in your spirit that brings us to faith now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is risen from the grave, and all the people say, Amen.